It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Welcome back. It is the Red October Rally.
Do it.
Hugh Douglas, Joe Giulia live today. Chickies and Pete's in South Philly for the Red October Rally, presented by Budweiser. Enjoy ice cold Budweiser and all the Phillies postseason action at Chickies and Pete's. Hugh, it is. We're getting close now. I mean, I'm starting to get some nerves.
Starting to get
here.
Excited.
Yes, and we don't know who we're going to play.
You're nervous? Well, both teams coming in. They're probably going to – either whoever we play, they're going to be a little beat up. So
they are. They're also going to be hot, right? They just won a game.
A little tired.
It's going to be all that. Let's talk to our next guest here, Eric Kratz from Foul Territory. And we know him here as a former big leaguer. Joins us to talk about the Phils and the postseason. Eric, how you doing, buddy?
I'm awesome. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Well, you got it. And thanks for being here with us. And obviously a lot going on with this postseason so far. Eric, Game 3 tonight, Mets and Brewers. What's your thought on those two teams, and would one be a more preferable matchup if you were the Phillies?
I mean, let's put it this way. You're not afraid of the Mets. The Mets will come in with all their gimmicks, you know, Grimace and OMG, and the Mets will met. So if the Mets win, the cakewalk, it's a five-game series for the Phillies in the sense of, you know, they may kind of set it up, but it's, you know, it'll be three games, they'll win it, see you later. But if you go and you have to face the Brewers, if you're a Phillies fan, this is where the Phillies fans come in, because I heard Hugh say at the beginning, well, you know, we don't want the Mets fans coming down here like the Knicks. Like, that's one thing that the players can't control. Like, fans are going to come in, so I think Philly fans need to step up even more than in the Mets series, because in the Brewers series, if you're a true Phillies fan, you're that underdog. You're that guy that, you know, you work to get your tickets. You don't just get them given to you like New York Mets fans. You work to get your tickets. Brewers and Brewers players and Brewers fans, this would be a Phillies team. So you need to be afraid of the Brewers, because they're going to come in and they could care less. They want to silence the Philly crowd, and they're dangerous. They're dangerous because Pat Murphy, I think I like all three managers. Topper is an unbelievable manager. Murph is an unbelievable manager, and Mendoza is an unbelievable manager. But Pat Murphy, the Brewers manager, gets the most out of his guys. So that's a scary team.
Well, they're good. I mean, they've been good all year, Eric. They won their division going away, and they've got a lot of good players, including Churio, the 20-year-old, hit the home runs last night. Eric, let's look at what the Phillies' decisions are in this series, including Game 2. So Topper still hasn't told us who he's going to start. It might be matchup-dependent. Eric, how would you do this? Because you can see it both ways, right? You have Sanchez, who's been way better at home this year. You could pitch him at home in Game 2, Nola Game 3. But also, the experience factor, Nola's been the guy. He's been the guy behind Wheeler the last two postseasons, right in that number two spot. How would you do it if you were Topper between Nola and Sanchez?
9 times out of 10, I'm going with Nola. They play the Brewers. I do lean towards Sanchez because of the fact that they struggle against lefties. Sanchez does a great job pitching in Citizens Bank Park. Not saying Nola won't. Not saying that if they're playing the Brewers, that American Family Life Insurance Field is an easy place to pitch either. I'm saying that you go with Sanchez because of that familiarity, but you also go because you're probably looking at 7 from Wheeler. You're probably looking at 7 from Wheeler, and if you get Sanchez right in behind there, now you're looking at, maybe what they did with Ranger last year in the playoffs, where it was like 5 and dive, 4 and dive, and go right to the pen. Because that's the strength of the Phillies, and you'll have an off day the next day. So to me, if it's the Brewers, I go Sanchez. If it's the Mets, I go with Nola. And I let Nola, the experience and everything that he's done, you gotta lean on your two horses.
So, Eric, what's your thoughts on rest versus rust? I had a chance to ask Ruben Amar Jr. this morning. I'm just curious, how do you feel about that?
I think it's overblown. I think it's you like the whole like, oh, it's tough travel. It's tough, this, like, it ain't tough travel. You're getting champagne. The Mets went champagne in Atlanta. They went to the bus to the bird right into Big League Hotel. They're getting spread. They're getting massages. And then when they come out for BP, the fans are already in the stands. The fans are already in the stands in the playoffs when you're taking BP. It just absolutely ratchets up your adrenaline to the max. Never played football, but I watch guys start, first game of the year, last game of the year, whatever it is, they're coming out on the field ripping. They are ready to go. That is what I feel. That is what playoffs are. There's no pain. Nobody's ever like, oh, I'm so exhausted in the playoffs. That is a fan narrative, and that is, it's tired. So I would say I would lean more towards being hot. The team that's hot, they've been out there. They've been battle tested. They've been playing other teams in big spots. And in the first inning in Philly, it's going to be ruckus. And the Brewers or the Mets have been through that for the last 3 nights.
Oh, it's going to be rocking. This place at 4 o'clock on Saturday is going to be, as Topper would say, 4 hours of hell. Eric Kratz from Foul Territory joining us here. Eric, we know the other side of the NL bracket. That's set. The Padres moved past the Braves, so it's Dodgers-Padres, a matchup we've seen a lot over the years in that division a couple years ago in the playoffs. What's your take on that one? Eric, I'm very impressed with this Padres team. I mean, since the beginning of August, they have been incredible. Bullpen, contact in the lineup, some power. But the Dodgers obviously have some of baseball's best players. What do you think of that series?
I mean, I think it leans towards the Padres. If you're asking me who thinks wins, I think it leans towards the Padres because they have a, like you said, a complete team. They built their bullpen to be deeper, and yet in the last month and a half, they've had the best starting rotation in baseball. And this Musgrove's injury could hurt them because, then you start getting to the underbelly of their starting rotation, which has been good. But Yu Darvish in the playoffs hasn't been super awesome. But if you go man-to-man throughout this entire roster, you have a hard time convincing me that the Padres aren't the better team. Because you don't know if you can get more than 4 innings out of Yamamoto. You don't know if Flaherty's going to go more than 5. So you got nine innings, and you got to figure out how to get 54 outs from your starters. It's just not – the Dodgers are not in an enviable situation, but they have Shohei Ohtani. Shohei Ohtani hit like a million in the WBC, and he is I'm excited to watch them in the playoffs because they have them in a spot in the lineup where you can't pitch around them. You can't pitch around Shohei to get to Mookie. Mm. And you can't pitch around both of them to get to Freddie. So it is going to be I love that they're matching up. Secretly, I kind of love that the Braves aren't in it anymore. But, hey, you know what? If they had like 4 days rest or something, then that would have been an excuse. But they didn't have any rest, so that's the excuse. You know how it is.
Yeah, they'll make an excuse. They'll find a new excuse this year. Eric Kratz joining us. Eric, we got one eye on the other side of this thing if the Phillies are able to get to the World Series. What do you think about the AL now that we got the four teams left? Yankees, Royals, Tigers, Cleveland. Eric, the more I watch Cleveland, the more I watch Detroit and Kansas City, I wouldn't be surprised we get some chaos in the American League.
I mean, there's already been chaos.
Yep.
They knocked out. They're going to have a new ALCS opponent. Somebody other than the Astros. I didn't think the Astros were very good. That's why I picked the Tigers to beat them. I just felt like they played in a division that was kind of meh, and they were kind of a meh team. And the Tigers are hot. We talked about hot. I do like hot. I like A.J. Hinch as a manager. I think he makes great decisions. I think coming out of the AL, I think it's going to be a battle between the Guardians and the Yankees. I think in a longer series, what the Tigers do is tough to maintain because you're going to see Will Vest everyone, you know, three games in a five-game, seven-game series. You're going to see Jason Foley, their closer, Brisky, their closer slash six-inning guy. You know, so when you start seeing guys, when you start giving these lineups more looks, and I think that's why the Yankees are going to end up prevailing out of the American League, and I think it's going to be a Phillies-Yankees matchup again, old 2009. Mm.
Boy, that would be big. I mean, it would just feel big. Eric, we appreciate you hopping on. We'll be watching Fair Territory, and we'll talk soon. Thank you, Eric.
Have a good one.
Appreciate you, Joe.
There he goes. Eric Kratz there, former Phil, former big leaguer, and you could check him out now on his show. So he thinks we're getting a Yankees-Phillies World Series. I mean, Hugh,
Turnpike Series.
In terms of –
that'd be fun.
In terms of national excitement and buzz – I mean, we're going to be excited here anyway, right? It doesn't matter who the Phillies play. If it ends up some sort of combination of, like, Mets, Dodgers, Yankees as the road for the Phillies, it'd be the biggest story in sports. Like,
no
it,
question
it would
about
be
that,
huge.
Man. And everybody would be excited. The Turnpike, is that the turn? That would be the Turnpike Series, right?
Yeah, the 95,
that would be
yeah.
Yeah, the Turnpike Series. I want to make sure I get it right because last time I said it was Subway. But
well,
I was
be,
wrong.
That would be Mets,
that
Yankees.
Would be Mets, Yankees. Yeah,
let's
yeah.
not do that.
That's
no.
not, no. It'd be the Turnpike Series. Let me get it right. Yeah, that would be fun, because that would definitely go up there for that. Because I've never been to their stadium. Never been inside
either.
Oh, no.
Oh, Yankees somehow. No,
neither one.
Did you ever go to the old Yankee Stadium?
That's the one in the Bronx, right?
Right, but they built both the Mets and Yankees. They built new ones, you know.
No, haven't been to that. Been past it, rode
well,
past
we
it.
We would go. I mean, it'd be show road trip if we get these local teams here.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
215-592-9494. Let's wrap it back up here. A lot to discuss here. Do you trust Topper fully? Hugh, we got full trust in Topper?
I got Topper. I got his back. Yeah, right. I trust him.
Yeah, I'm not at full trust. I like Topper. I believe in Topper.
That's on brand for you, though.
I mean, how can
I mean, you're kind of scarred with the whole Nick Sirianni thing.
Well, it's not even no. I trust him more than Sirianni.
Nick Nurse and those cats. Yeah. Wait, not Coach. No, you're still Doc Rivers. You're still scarred with the Doc thing.
Well, who isn't? I mean, that was bad. Oh, look, I like Topper, but I just feel like some of the things have caught him up in the last couple postseasons. It's going to come back. I'm telling you right now, Topper's going to get talked about on this station
a lot.
To the level of Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni the next month. His decisions are going to matter a ton. And do you want the Mets? 215-592-9494. All right, let's talk to Steve. And then I got to throw something out that I know Hugh has disagreed with before when I brought it up. I think it's going to happen again. Steve is up on WIP. Hey, Steve.
Steve.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good, Steve.
You,
what's up?
I'm with you. I don't want those Knicks fans. Well, New York fans in my stadium.
Yeah, period.
In the playoffs last year, they were looking for fights. They were sticking phones in your face. Well, look at these Effed and beat fans. They were ready to fight you. That's what it was like. I don't want to be. I want to go to a game and enjoy myself.
Yeah, that's it. That's all. That's all. They're annoying.
Yeah, Steve. It would change the atmosphere. Like, I don't think Mets fans would be able to come down here and take over to the same extent. But I can't disagree with you. It would change the atmosphere. Like Saturday, I'm going game one Saturday. If it's Milwaukee, you know, it's 99.5% Phillies fans. If it's the
You're
Mets.
Right.
it's going to be, I don't know, 90-10 or whatever. Mm-hmm.
It could be 90-20.
It could be 80-20. It could be 80-20. Yeah.
I hate people to sell their tickets. I'm a season ticket holder. I'm ready to strangle somebody that sells me their tickets around me. I really can't stand that. I'm a diehard Philadelphia fan, Eagles, Sixers, Flyers, Phillies. I go to every game that I can go to, and I enjoy sports. But I don't need somebody in my face with a phone and trolling me and doing what my kids. You see, you're getting trolled right now, and I see, I said, this guy's going to get beat up. My son's like, no, no, no. And they pull me back from 68. I grew up in the 700 level, the vet. You know what it's like. But the fans are just so arrogant. I don't like the arrogance.
Well, none of us do. And Steve, you're not wrong. It would change the atmosphere of the series. I'm embracing, and we appreciate the call, Steve. If it is the Mets, I'm going to embrace the fun of it. I mean, we've never had that before. Phillies, Mets in the playoffs, it would feel huge. 215-592-9494. All right, we're live today with Chickies at Pizza South Philly for the Red October Rally. Nothing goes better with Phillies baseball than crab fries and ice cold Budweiser online at chickiesatpeace.com. All right, Hugh, I have a question for you and for everybody. Okay, I have a thought. It's been in my head. Hugh, I've probably mentioned this 5 or 6 times over the last few months, but now it's real. So I have to mention it again, and I need everyone to weigh in on this. Hugh, I'm going to present you a scenario, and I need you to tell me what you would do, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll get Kyle's take, and I want everyone else's take on this. Phillies are winning 4-3, right? A close margin. 1-run, 2-run margin, 9th inning. They have Estevez on the mound. They're trying to close the game out. It's Saturday afternoon, Saturday evening, Game 1 against the Mets. They have the lead. It's the 9th inning. The likelihood of hitting again is almost zero, right? The only way they hit again is they blow the lead.
Mm-hmm.
Hugh, I'm proposing that during these moments in the postseason, they take Trey Turner off the field for defense and put Edmundo Sosa in for defense at shortstop late in games.
So you're saying to solidify the defense, like galvanize the defense?
I want to put the best defensive team on the field, just like Rojas goes on the field. If if Rojas starts, obviously he's out there. But if Rojas is not a starter on a certain day, Rojas should go to center field in the 9th inning. He's their best defensive player. Well, their second best defensive player is Edmundo Sosa. And Trey Turner, for all he's had a pretty good season this year, he's not a good defensive shortstop. We know it. Hugh, would you pull that lever? Would you take Turner off the field for defense late in playoff games? I know in the past you've said no, because all the other stuff that goes in it. Larry Bowa an hour ago said he wouldn't do it. Would Hugh Douglas do it?
Nah. Because it sends a message. Is this the last game of the World Series?
No. We're going every time we have a lead. This is my defensive replacement.
Nah. Because that is sending a message that you don't want to send, Joe.
But what's the message?
I don't trust your defense.
I don't.
I know you don't, Joe, but you can't send that message.
Yeah, you can.
You can, Joe.
Are we trying to win the World Series, or are we sending friendly messages?
You're right. I get where you're coming from. I've been working with you long enough to know you're just trying to win. But at the end of the day, you're planting that seed where you're letting Trey know that you don't really trust his defense.
Well, he should know it by now after the last few years of his defense. I imagine.
You got to believe in you guys, man.
Well, okay.
You do.
But it's just, I can't wrap my mind. Now, if there was no better option, right, if they didn't have another shortstop on the roster as good defensively as Sosa, then you just got to live with it, and what am I going to do? But I have this button to push. I have this lever to pull. I don't care what message sends. The message I'm sending is I'm putting the team over everybody else. 215-592-9494. I'm curious if you would do this. I think the margin for error in this postseason is going to be smaller than ever. Every game could be really close. The gap between these teams is not big, and I wouldn't be able to sleep at night if I was the manager and I didn't pull the lever and Trey couldn't make a play in the field. It would haunt me forever.
I get what you're saying, because you're trying to cover all bases.
All bases.
And work through all intangibles that might come up later, but I don't think you can do that. I just think the message that you send is not a good one.
Well, you
don't care.
I don't care. Kyle, where do you come down on this? You know I've been on this for a while. Yeah. I want to make it clear. I don't anticipate the Phillies are going to do this, but that doesn't mean they should not consider it. Kyle, if you were Rob Thompson, scenario I just painted, upper run, 9th inning, would you put Sosa in for defense?
Yeah, like Joe, you're dead right. Hugh, this is plant-based, major league buddies thinking by you.
How does it always go from disagreement to like personal,
no,
like
no, no, because
0-60, 0-60.
Hugh, you're worried about Trey Turner's feelings.
I'm not worried about his feelings.
Yes, you are. You're saying it sends the wrong message.
Listen,
to him. I'm trying to win a baseball game.
I am playing chess. You guys are playing checkers.
No, this is a chess. You are playing chess.
What are you talking about?
Buddies.
This is not being a buddy. This is,
yes,
I'm going to need this guy.
No.
And if I plant the seed that I don't trust him in certain situations, I just don't think that's a good
message. No, it's the right message because we don't trust him. He's not a good defensive shortstop.
So how are you going to say, what are you going to say every time you pull me? You say, hey, coach,
no,
hey, Topper.
No,
why you keep pulling me in these moments? What are you going
to
say?
There's nothing that needs to be said.
Your defense stinks?
No,
it is something to be said.
No, Hugh. But
the other guy's a better option. That's it.
Right.
The other guy's a better
yeah.
option.
Yeah, and like you're
so
sending
you
a message.
Okay,
Hugh,
I'm,
you're
I'm
sending
Trey.
A message to the team.
Okay, you're,
that you're
Topper,
trying to
I'm
win
Trey.
The game.
Tell me why you're taking me out the game.
Because
Topper.
We want to win a baseball game.
That guy is a better defensive
so what,
player.
So what do you mean? I can't do this?
No, get better. I mean, you're not a good defensive shortstop.
Just like that, huh?
Hugh, yes. I don't know how many times we need to get burnt by this as a Philly sports fan. Rhys Hoskins screwed us. He cost us a game in Atlanta in a playoff game, and he got booed before he had the bat spike in game three versus Atlanta. Ben Simmons, the same stuff. Like, we have to do what's best for the team.
You're talking about sports PTSD now.
Well, no, but it's also real now. We have a guy that's made 30-something errors the last 2 years of shortstop. As a manager or a coach, you need to push every button you can possibly push to win. And you know what, Hugh? There's a chance, and I'm sure people out there are yelling, like, Joe, this won't even make it won't matter, right? It won't matter. Trey won't screw it up. And he
but
might
you're just
not.
Saying in the scenario, if the scenario presented
right,
itself.
Right, it might not. I don't know what's going to happen. I just know if I am Rob Thompson, I couldn't sleep ever again if I am up in a game in the playoffs, especially if it's the World Series. And I leave my worst defensive player out there. I have my best one sitting next to me on the bench, and we lose a game because he's at shortstop. Like, I don't know how you could look the team in the eye because everyone on that team knows who the best defensive shortstop is. But they all know. Trey knows.
No, I don't think you can.
You don't think he knows? You don't think they all know that Sosa's the better defender?
Well, I mean, they probably do.
Of course they do.
You can't take him off the field. You can't take him off the field.
Why? It's isn't it about the
team? I just
told
you.
Yeah, but you're worried about a message to Trey.
Well, it's because I'm gonna need that guy. At some point, I'm gonna need Trey. And what if I need him to hit?
Well,
if the game goes to extra innings and I need to hit any which Sosa out there.
All right, now that is a fair risk, right? Like in my scenario, the pitcher gives up a home run, you go to extra innings, you don't have his bat.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what you just brought up there is it's a risk I'm willing to take. I'm willing to take it. 215-592-9494. Hugh's
well,
not willing
you,
to take it.
This is why you and Kyle will never be – you'd never be managers because you don't know how to take people's feelings
Wait
into consideration.
Second. Wait, are you saying you'd be a better baseball manager than me?
I didn't say that.
Did you hear
But I will consider people's feelings more. I am more in tune with people's
Major
feelings than you guys
league
are.
Buddies.
No, it's not about that.
Your
it's about
clubhouse would it, run all over
it
you.
Was, it's not about
oh
that.
Oh, my goodness
It's
gracious.
About knowing, reading the room. You can't be in positions of power and not understand that people have feelings,
read
Joe.
Read the room. I'm having to read my blood pressure in the crowd on Saturday if the ball hits the train in the ninth inning.
When Ruben Amaro was here, I was asking him questions about what it was like being a manager. And you know what he told me? He says sometimes when you're the GM, you have to let the guys that you put in position say something. You can't always say something to the players.
Well, I get that.
That's the other coach's job. That's the position coach's job. Y'all, you guys would be bad managers, man. You would not have any loyalty in the locker room because every time something go bad, you're like, well, here's Joe. He about to change some
Hold
stuff.
On.
Here's Kyle.
I'm
Kyle's out here having
game.
A temper tantrum.
I'd have the respect Kyle, of players who want to win.
Kyle's out here blowing his stack. Here's Kyle again. They would hate to see you guys come.
Old school. Old school is what that would be.
It is old that school. Doesn't work in this day and age. It doesn't work.
Listen, Trey. Get 3 or 4 at-bats. Get as many hits as you can. Ninth inning, off the field.
Hey, Trey, why am I not out there, Joe? You stink.
No, hold on. Obviously, this would have to be some decorum about this. He'd have to go. He had to speak to him before the playoffs start. Like, hey, I'm thinking of doing this. And I think Trey would handle it like a pro. He's a professional. And if he doesn't handle it like
that might be something different. Yeah, like, if you let him know.
I'm not going to make a spectacle of the guy and pull him off the field in front of 50,000 people.
Yeah.
But
okay.
I need to do this. All right, 215-592-9494. We'll open all this up. Topper, do you fully trust him? If you were Topper, would you take Trey off the field for defense the ninth inning? I'm dead serious about this. We have a liability at shortstop. We know he can hit, and he's had a better season this year offensively than last year. but he's not a good defender. And you have a great defensive player in Sosa. I would put him out there every time I have a lead of the night. Then he would you. Hughes worried about Major League buddies, thinks he's a better manager than I am.
He was about to say plant-based. I heard it.
You are plant-based. I mean, everyone knows that by now. I mean, that's a fact.
He was about to say it.
Hughes plant-based. All your phone calls coming up. 215-592-9494. And do you want the Mets? Plus, we'll play some audio from John Middleton this morning on what gives him the most reason to believe in this team, and Dombrowski on his biggest concern going into the postseason. And we need your thoughts on all of it on the Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP live from Chickies.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
2 on, 1 out. And the pitch. Swung on!
Did it!
Crushed! And the Phillies are going to lead it! A three-run home run for Rhys Hoskins. His first postseason home run, and he's sprinting around third base. What a moment here at Citizens Bank Park.
What a moment indeed. Rhys Hoskins against the Braves 2 years ago. Welcome back, Midday Show. We're live today. Chickies at Pizza South Philly for the Red October Rally. Nothing goes better with Phillies baseball than Kraft Fries and ice-cold Budweiser online. ChickiesatPizza.com. Now, Hugh, everyone remembers that moment, the Hoskins bat slam that really ignited that postseason run. You know what's a little bit of an underrated part of what led up to that?
What was that?
Well, Rhys was under a lot of fire in the city heading into Game 3 of that series because he had a big defensive blunder in Game number 2 against the Atlanta Braves down in Atlanta. See, we're opposite, Hugh, and you don't think defense matters in football.
No. It's a luxury, yeah, right. Not a necessity.
It matters in baseball. They didn't have another lever they could have pulled. They had to keep Rhys at first base. It wasn't very good defensively. They have a lever to pull here. If they're winning late in games, I would absolutely take Trey off the field and put Edmundo Sosa in. Are you going to hear from Middleton and Dombrowski in a few minutes here? Let's go to the phone lines here on all this stuff. Mets, do you want them? They play the Brewers tonight. The winner comes to Philadelphia Saturday. Fully trust Topper? Yes or no? And Trey Turner, if the Phillies are winning, I'll make it clear the way I'm framing this. I'm not starting Sosa. Obviously, Trey's a shortstop, and Trey's their number two hitter. And his upside is very high when he gets hot. We know that. I'm just saying if they're winning late in games and the Phillies are up 4-3, ninth inning of a game, I'm taking Trey off the field, and I'm putting Sosa in for the best defense possible. Where do you come down on all this? Let's go to Jim in Center City. What's up, Jim?
Joe Giglio, what's happening?
Jim in Center City.
You?
What's up, buddy?
What's going on, man?
So, you know, Joe, sometimes I know when things are getting a little slow or you're feeling a certain way, you know, these ideas pop in your head. I'm going to take my $300 million all-star shortstop and bench him in the most critical time of the game to put Edmundo Sosa in the game so he can be a defensive replacement. Now, let's just talk about one thing. Let's talk about men managing men and culture. You can't manage a culture within a clubhouse and take your best players and bench them in the most critical times. It sends the worst message to the entire team.
Who's the better defensive player, and do you think everyone in the clubhouse knows who the better defensive player is?
Regardless of who the better defensive player is, it's culture, Joe.
But Jim, culture. No, it's not abstract. It's been 2 years of Trey being one of the worst defensive players in the league. No question he is. He's had over 30 errors in 2 years, and we all know with our eyes, Sosa's a very good defensive player. Like, I don't know how you, as a manager, could look the other guys in the eyes. Like, culture is about team over player, is it not?
Culture is about team over player. Exactly. It's about team and the messaging to the team and the management of the team and the buy-in of the team. The team will not buy in if you take your best player and bench him in the most critical moment. You know that.
I disagree.
Everyone knows that.
I think it's the easy way out. And here's what I think is going to happen. I don't believe they're going to do this, Jim. I mean, we all know that this is probably not going to happen.
Yeah.
And I believe deep down, Topper and every coach on the Phillies will cross their fingers and hope the ball is not hit to Trey in the biggest moments of the postseason. That's what I believe. And Jim, they might get away with it. They might have a parade. But if the ball's hit to him in a critical spot, we're all going to worry he's going to mess it up. We're all going to worry.
Like we were with Hoskins at first base, right? We worried about it. But it's a result of our players who are going to be on the field to be on the field. So do I wish for it to not be hit to him in that critical moment? Sure. Is it most likely going to happen in a critical moment? Yes. Do I believe in Trey Turner? Yes. I believe in the player and Trey Turner. 100%.
Jim, I believe in what he is. I mean, Jim, and we appreciate the call, and it's a fair call. But, like, let's just call it for what it is. Trey is probably going to have a hot streak in this postseason. He might put him on his back for one of these series here and hit a lot because he's capable of that.
Mm-hmm.
He's also probably going to screw up something at shortstop. I mean, like, just this is who he is. It's not about belief, it's about who he is.
But, see, this is the thing, Joe. This is how I interpret what you're saying. Basically, hey, Trey, like your bat, you've been doing well, but – and I know you're not saying this, but this is what it sounds like. But I know you're about to screw up out there in the outfield at some point or in the infield at some point. So in order to, you know, not have that moment, I'm going to take you out in key moments during the game because I don't want you to screw it up for me. That's what he hears. You're not saying that, but in essence, that's what you're doing.
Can I give you – well, yeah, but that's okay. But why are we so worried about one player over the team? That blows me away.
It's because you're worried about that one player. He's one of your big guns, correct? He's one of the guys that you're going to have to depend on.
Of course.
And what you don't want to happen is by you sending that message, putting him in a situation where he feels like he's not adequate enough to get the job done when you need him to. That's the psyche of a player. You can't do that.
But we do this with other players. I mean, why? So let's give me an example. Do you believe, and I think we all do, that Rojas will be in the game for defense in the ninth inning, even if he doesn't start?
Yes, but
But it takes someone off the field. Someone has to accept they have to come off the field, and Rojas is better than them defensively. That could be Marsh or Hayes, right? Why don't we care about them?
Yeah, because they're not Trey Turner. Trey Turner's in a different stratosphere. Trey Turner, a few years ago, was your $300 million man. He was the guy that you went out to get that helped make your team better. So it's certain things that certain players – you can't treat them all the same way, and he's one of those guys.
All right, I'm going to give you an example of something. And this is a long time ago, but it's a name everyone knows. Bill Buckner. Okay, Bill Buckner was a borderline Hall of Famer. People don't remember that now, Hugh, because you think of his name, you think he screwed up the play at first base for the Red Sox, right, against the Mets in the 86 World Series. Everyone remembers that name. You know, in games 1, 2, and 5 of that series, they took him off the field for defense, and they wanted him to be on the field to win the World Series. They felt indebted to him because he was a good player for a long time and he was one of their biggest names, and they kept him on the field so they could celebrate the World Series. He blew it. They didn't put their best players on the field in that moment.
Yeah.
I
hear what you're saying, Joe, but it just sends the wrong message. And I feel strongly about this.
I know you do.
You don't want to let doubt creep into his mind at any point during this this significant run that we're about to go on. You don't want that.
Do you really think he'll field any different the next day?
I don't. I do.
I think he'll be the same guy.
I do.
I think it's just
you're talking about the same guy who, for whatever reason, if it's true or not, went on a tear after we stood it. We gave him a standing O.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't think it, that bothers him?
Well, no, it
you
might.
You think that affects him?
But I think his limitations at shortstop are not because of his brain. Well, I think they're because of his body. Like I think he'll play shortstop the best he can.
No, but players, whether you believe this or not, Joe, some baseball players, some professional athletes in general, they're super sensitive. They're super sensitive.
Well, I don't care about feelings.
I understand that, Joe, but you're going to need these guys. You have to care about it when it could potentially affect another aspect of his game. You have to care about it.
Well, I just wish we had truth serum for all of them because they all say we don't want the ball hit to him in the biggest moment. Mike in Fishtown is up. What's up, Mike? Mike, you there,
hey,
pal?
How's it
going? What's up, buddy?
Yeah, I was just calling. Frass made a great point about the fans and showing up and stuff like that.
Yep.
Everyone's afraid of the Mets because they're afraid of the fans or they're annoyed with the fans coming down here. I think the underlying issue is we're just embarrassed that they are going to take over again.
Well, Mike, I think it's a fear. I think the Knicks series in the playoffs last year in the NBA, it's in everyone's head, Hugh, that, like, it was embarrassing. It really was. I mean, to listen to the Knicks, it sounded like a Knicks home game, some of those games. We don't want that to happen again. Mike, to be fair, though, I don't think it will be as egregious. I think at that point, Sixers fans had kind of checked out. We didn't even know if Embiid was going to play. It was a 7-seed team. I don't think it will be as egregious as it was then. But that fear might be in people's heads.
Yeah, it shouldn't be as egregious. It is the Phillies we're talking about. Let's be real. The Sixers are kind of a B team right now in Philly, especially with there were talks of moving the can and stuff like that. But it would just be a total embarrassment for Saturday to roll around and the stands are blue and orange instead of red.
It would be awful. It would be awful. Now I'm going to be there, and if we do get the Mets, we have to mute them. Like, we have to make sure we're louder than whatever they have there. But yeah, it'd be annoying. And Mike, we appreciate it. I mean, Hugh, that's the thing you've been bringing up. It would just be annoying, and it would change the home field if we get the Mets.
Yeah, because that's what it is, man. And they're just annoying fan base. They're going to come down here. They're going to be loud. They're going to be obnoxious. And just like when the Knicks were here, they just went out of their way to do extra stuff. And you know how it always goes. They always go to the museum, and everybody wants to go to the Rocky statue and do the thing at the Rocky statue and do disrespectful stuff. Ain't nobody got time for all that, man.
You're right about that. But there is one thing about the potential Mets series that we haven't talked much about. We could go up there for games 3 and 4. Like, you know, they don't.
Yeah, we could get it, yeah.
Would home field be different here if there was 10,000 Mets fans? Of course it is. It's not sound the same. But we could also take over their place for a couple games.
That would be
fun. It'd be great. Though. Let's go to Bobby G, who's up. What's up, Bobby G?
Hugh, for real? Man, sit that guy down. Sit him down. Listen. 5 out of the last 9 years, Trey Turner's fielding percentage has been lower than the major league average. 5 out of 9 times. Sit him down, sir. Sit him down. He can't be trusted to make the routine play. Sit him down.
Especially Bobby G, and thank you for the stats. I like that. He threw some stats at you. Especially when you have a guy like Sosa, who is clearly a better defender.
No, I mean, I hear you. I just think that it sends the wrong message.
But it sends the accurate message.
And okay, what if you need that bat? What if we go into a game where it's all tied up and then you need that bat? Sosa in a situation.
I got to ask you a question.
What's that?
In your career, and I'm sure you thought you prided yourself on being able to stop the run if you had to, but you...
That happened to me before while you're playing.
Okay.
And you know what we did?
What we do?
We lost the game. We were in the NFC Championship game.
Against Tampa.
And there's Tampa Bay. And they went to what they called the elephant package. And we had a package that we called elephant. And in order – and John Gruden told me this. This is how I know. John Gruden said, we knew that in this certain package that you were off the field.
Sure.
We couldn't block you. So we ran that package, and they threw out of that package, and they did it the whole game.
So that's a great example. You live this, right?
Yes.
But in football, you can affect – like, you can't purposely hit the ball to shortstop. You know what I mean? Like, it's hard.
Yeah.
You could get you off the field and run at your spot. And, Bobby, we appreciate the phone call. I just mean – and that's a good example. And, unfortunately, you guys lost that game. Would you have rushed the quarterback less effectively if you came off the field on the goal line? Or did you understand that was your role? You see what I mean? Like, you're afraid it's going to affect Trey. And my thing is, Trey's going to hit the next game the best he can.
I think it has some potential because it affected me in a negative way because I never wanted to play the run in the first place. I never wanted to do that anyway. But, Joe, I will tell you this. In that instance.
Did it affect your confidence?
In that instance, it didn't affect because I didn't want to play it, so I was okay with it. But in that instance, it affected me because I knew what was happening. And I remember going to Jim and I said, Jim, I'll play the run today because that's how much this meant to me. And he didn't put me back out there. He stayed in the package because I knew everybody and their mother knew what they were doing. They would go to this package, they would put me on the sideline, and they would throw the football.
They dictated the game.
They dictated it.
I get it.
And I was like, listen, man, I'll play it. I will do just on the fly. Show me what I need to do, and we'll get it done.
So I like your example. Now, if I thought Trey's issues on defense were a matter of want to and concentration, I would feel different. I just don't think he's a good defender. I don't think he dogs it. I don't think he doesn't want to be out there. I mean, obviously, he's a shortstop. I just think he's not very good at it. 215-592-9494. Live today from Chickies in South Philly for the Red October Rally. Nothing goes better with Philly's baseball than crab fries and ice-cold Budweiser. Online, chickiesandpeets.com. All right, before we go back to the phone lines on all this, let's hear from the Phillies owner, John Middleton, joined the morning show today, Hugh. Today, this morning was a big announcement. How about Phillies baseball staying on WIP for years to come? Hugh, we heard that coming in today, and Phillies baseball belongs on WIP. Doesn't it? It's
synonymous.
Baseball on the radio, and Middleton said it today. It's perfect.
Yeah, it's synonymous. And I couldn't imagine what it would be like if we weren't allowed to do some of the things that we do with the Phillies, to training camp and things like that. Because I was in a city that didn't have the baseball team. And granted, it was different because it was a different city. But at the same time, this just feels right. And it did feel kind of weird not having that team, but this just feels right.
Oh, I couldn't imagine the Phillies on WIP. John Middleton was a guest this morning in the morning show, and he was talking about this team compared to the last couple teams and why this one even more complete.
Well, I think if you look at the 07 through 11 team and you look at the 80 team, I think each of those teams, and I would say the same thing about our team, I think we've gotten better every year. I think this is a more complete team. The roster from top to bottom is better. You know, we've kept the top, we've raised the bottom, the average is higher. I think there's experience matters. And Nick made a point about what we did in the offseason is we knew the players could do this, and the players now know each other better. They understand each other better. I think it's a more cohesive team today than it was in 22. So I think in all of those ways, and look, this is a sport where the interaction between players is especially important because you're playing 6 out of 7 days with them. And so you're constantly with them. And I think that chemistry is really, really important.
Oh, and they have that, Hugh. I mean, I felt that you mentioned when we got a chance to go down to spring training. I have felt since spring training that this team was on a different kind of mission than I've ever seen them have. Like 2 years ago, it was let's just hope we can get to the playoffs. And the last year was let's hope we could replicate it again. But they got off to a tough start. This team, even with the lull in the middle of the season, they have had a look to them since we talked to them in spring training. It's just they have been locked in on this is the goal, and now they get a chance to go finish this thing off.
Yeah, man, and it sounds like right now that they're in a position where they know what they need to do and they know what they don't want to do as far as what it takes to win it all, man. I'm excited. I'm excited for this thing to get started. I'm excited for Saturday because it's going to be jumping down.
Oh, it's going to be so loud. There was actually a story in the Inquirer the other day about how they incorporate the music to get the crowd going. It's an atmosphere unlike anything else in sports right now. Marie is in Springfield on WIP. Hey, Marie.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, Marie. What's up today?
Okay, so here's what I have to say. Listen, trust. I guess it comes to performance. If we're game five with the Mets, we're up one, bottom of the top of the ninth. If Trey Turner has had two defensive errors, get him the hell out. Look what Thompson did with Kimbrel last year. Why, when someone is not performing, do you trust them? In that situation, you do not.
Well, especially, Marie, as you set it up, if it's the biggest moment of the series. I mean, at some point, you have to manage what the reality is. You can't manage what you hope. I think there's a hope that Trey's going to figure it out, and it's not going to kill us, right? He'll make the play, and everyone will be happy. But, Marie, I got to go with my eyes tell me, and my eyes tell me Edmundo Sosa is a better defender.
He is, but Trey has the bat.
Yes,
and
of course.
And I think it's going to come down to Rob has to look at performance. He trusted Kimbrel last year. Everybody's heart tank when that man went on the mound again. Who remembers?
Oh, of course. I mean, we all knew it was a mistake as it happened. Marie, I'm glad you brought that up. It's a good phone call. Here we trusted Craig Kimbrel last year at a track
No,
record.
I remember that because I think I mentioned that earlier. He did. Yeah,
what happened there?
Yeah, it was a little tough.
Yeah, you trust the guy
but
with
I think
the track
it's record. A little different in this situation. But your scenario does make me think about a few things. But I still, again, I don't think you can do it. I don't think you can do it in that scenario.
So I'll tell you what's going to happen. They're not going to do this. I mean, I'd be shocked. We had Larry Bowen earlier. He said no. You're saying no. I think most people would say no. But in the biggest moment of the postseason, if the ball is hit to Trey, how are you going to feel? I'm going to be.
You're going to look at. I know what's going to
so
happen.
So nervous. So nervous.
No, I get that, and I know what's going to potentially happen the next day if we have to do a show.
I told you so, Hugh, look like small potatoes.
Yeah. And that might be a conversation that needs to be had, but I think initially, no, you don't do it. I don't think you do it.
Kyle, how are you going to feel if it's the ninth inning of the biggest game of October? He does not put Sosa in for defense, and the ball is hit to Trey in the biggest moment.
Well, just sort of based on how Hugh's been acting around here lately, I am going to I told you so hard on Hugh Douglas, and he's going to be feeling it.
Actually, you're in trouble on this, Hugh. I mean, you'd be the one.
Let's just hope we're
going to blame you.
Why let's hope? Just hope
we have, fault.
Hope is not a
no,
strategy.
Let's just pray. It's the same thing as hoping. That this scenario does not present itself.
Oh, that's your strategy.
Yeah. I don't think it will, though.
But why not? The ball could certainly be at the shortstop.
No, I don't think any of these games are going to be close.
Excuse me?
I really don't.
They're all going to be close.
No. Nah. I'm not going to say roll through this, but it's going to be comfortable. We're going to be in a comfortable spot because we have a veteran squad.
Oh, my goodness.
They've been through this before, and everything's going to be okay. We're not going to have any of those moments where we're going to be breaking down, whether, you know, the double switch or anything like that. It's not, none of that's going
to
happen.
Hugh, I think you need to order
some gummies.
Because this get ready for a roller coaster. This is not going to be easy. Wally is up. Wally is on WIP. Hey, Wally.
Hey, Joe, what's going on, man?
What's up, buddy?
Are you out of your mind?
Nope.
Are you absolutely out of your mind?
For wanting the best possible team on the field
to
finish
games. How can you even think about benching Trey Turner? The only way he gets benched is if he's hurt.
Well, it's not benching. It's not benching.
He's talking about a certain scenario.
It's a defensive replacement.
If you take a starter off the field, it's benching. You're benching him.
Hold on a second.
Three quarters of this game is mental.
Wally, hold on. I just want to make sure we're on the same page with your framing of benching. So if Rojas doesn't start the game and they start Marsh in center and Hayes in left and they pull Marsh for Rojas in the ninth inning, was Marsh benched?
Is he sitting on the bench and not in the field?
So you think that's benching?
It's absolutely benching.
It's a defensive replacement, Wally.
It's still a bet. You're putting him on the bench.
Is a pitcher when he comes out of the game, like when Wheeler gets pulled in the sixth inning on Saturday, is he benched?
No, that's different. He's going to the clubhouse.
It's a substitution, Wally. It's substituting.
So here's the deal. You don't bench an all-star shortstop ever.
Why?
Unless he's hurt.
Why?
Because he's your guy. He's been your guy all year. The only reason he didn't start earlier in the year is because he was hurt.
Better defensive player?
Sosa is, but he's not the better player, and he's not a leader on the team.
But wait a second. But the better overall player, it's not Jermaine because you have a lead. Three outs, the game is over.
I like
Jermaine. The guy never hits again if you get the outs.
But Rojas is the best defensive outfielder. Are you going to start him over everybody in the outfield?
But I didn't say start, Wally. That's never been the discussion. It's about if you have the lead in the ninth inning. Obviously, yeah. Trey starts every game. You want his bat in there.
You're going to mess with his head, man. You can't do that.
Well, he's been messing with my head with his glove for 2 years.
See, that's the thing that I don't think Joe's getting. It's the mental aspect of the game.
But it's not about him. It's about the team. Why do we appreciate it? Why are you guys putting him above the team?
No, it's not putting him above the team, Joe.
It sounds like it.
It's managing it's managing different perceptions that people have about the moves that you make.
I think this is a it sounds small. I know you might think it's small. I think it's going to be a critical moment in October.
I will say this.
I want my ninth inning with a lead. I'd get all my best defensive players in the field. Everyone.
I will say this. There are certain – like, I was the type of player – a whole lot – it didn't bother me. Certain players are super sensitive, and you have to coach them differently. I was what you would consider coached hard, and I never took it personal. Some guys you can't coach like that. Some guys you could put them in that scenario, and they'll understand perfectly what you're doing. They'll understand that, and they're all about what's best for the team. When you do that, they internalize that, and it affects them in the long haul. When I say I'm concerned, that's what I'm concerned about. I'm concerned about by me taking him out on defense has the potential of affecting the way that he hits.
All I know is once upon a time, if Hugh Douglas was not on the field for a goal line spot, I still expected a sack the next series. All right? 215-592-9494. That's how you hop. We're live from Chickies at Pete's in South Philly for the Red October Rally. Nothing goes better with Philly's baseball. The crab fries and ice cold Budweiser online at chickiesatpetes.com. Right, here's what we got coming up, 1 o'clock hour. All your phone calls on all this. The Mets, do you want them or are you scared of the Mets? Topper, is it a full trust? Is it full trust when you want Topper? And the Trey Turner thing. Ninth inning with a lead. I would take Trey off the field. I would put Sosa in for defense. Would you do it? Hugh doesn't want to. We'll get to all that coming up. 215-592-9494. And Alex Coffey from the Philadelphia Inquirer will join us. Plus, Big Game Dante is going to be here with us to sing the national anthem coming up in just a little bit. He's our guy, Big Game Dante, going to be live at Chickies at Pete's for the anthem coming up on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
You know how much I love Hatfield Bacon for breakfast. I can eat bacon all day. And now Hatfield has made it easier to enjoy a delicious breakfast with their new breakfast line. Savory breakfast ham slices. They got pork roll. They have breakfast sausage links. And they have Canadian bacon. And soon in your grocery store's frozen section, Hatfield's frozen sausage patties and links, perfect for those busy mornings. Head to simplyhatfield.com to find a retail location near you. Find your flavor with Hatfield.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.